始まるざますよ。
行くでガンス。
ふんが。
まともに始めなさいよ。
We are almost at the end, guys. This is Anime Diet Radio, episode number 18. Or 17.
Ha 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 ha. And I'm still full from the turkey, and you're already on 18. What do you want to go to college this fast, Sally?
Yeah, see, you know, I was raised with parents that were, you know, pretty high pressure on the academic front. But yes, apparently, you can probably tell it's been a little while since we've done all this sort of thing before, so... It's already 2008, guys.
Could we call this not quite barely legal
episode? Yes, Anime Diet, the barely legal edition.
Now, we're not quite illegal. It's really 17. It depends on where you are. I don't know what in Taiwan, 17, 18? What is it?
It's 35? It's 18, man. It's 18, man. But if you're in Japan and we're doing sort of a Japanese-related issue... We're already legal. So feel free to call us up, girl.
Yes, absolutely.
For $35...
I'll let you guys handle that side of it.
For $35, for $35, you can get an exclusive calendar for each feature, each one of us. And the Jeremy one is a hot sell.
Absolutely.
It's because my wife keeps buying them all up.
I think she's doing that for a totally different reason, though, Jeremy.
When you walk down the street, man, so many girls gonna scream after you.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, yes, that's it.
Okay.
By the way, are we still doing introductions anymore at the beginning of episodes? Because I have kind of a new announcement. I can no longer be called Jeremy from Los Angeles anymore.
Yes, why Please don't we do that? Okay, I'm Mike Huang. I'm reporting in from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., on the East Coast.
I'm still in Taipei, Taiwan, and now it's cold, and it's wet, and it's wet and cold.
Oh, dear. It's 15 degrees outside right now, Fahrenheit.
Uh-huh.
Well, I guess Mike had to one-up me by being in the nation's capital, but I'm no longer in Los Angeles. I'm now reporting to you from Redondo Beach, California. So,
he said beach.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the temperature there these days?
Actually, the temperature, yes, would be much better here. I think it's been a nice 73.
It will be mine in a few more days. I go back to LA.
Just a few more days.
So
nice and sunny, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's not bad. Oh. It gets a little cool down here though, because we're about about 6 blocks from the ocean.
Nice. Are you gonna be like a beach bum now, Jeremy?
No, that's
make it
not
more,
really.
Make more attractive for girls with that tan and the bleached blonde hair. And like that short and that Speedo trunks?
Yeah, the Speedo. The Hello Kitty Speedo trunks.
Which foreshadows something we're going to be talking about today.
Yes, indeed.
Today's show has 3 main sections. We have a couple of news items to cover, and including one of them is related to Hello Kitty, indeed.
Yeah, excuse me while I go puking.
And then the next section is our mailbag section, which took a short little hiatus in our previous episode because we actually have got quite a few comments from a number of you, especially from one of you.
Stalker.
And finally, we're gonna round it up with the roundtable section, in which we talk about the season that has just started, Winter 2008. So, without further ado, we're going to go ahead and move on to our first news item. Today's first news item is about a rebranding of sorts for Sanrio. Now, we all know, all of us computer geeks once had a poster up in my old workplace in which a bunch of armored Hello Kitty army, was marching on this wasteland. And the caption underneath said, "In the grim future of Hello Kitty, there is only war." ridiculousness of that poster has now been one-upped by Sanrio itself, the official makers of Hello Kitty, because Sanrio is now attempting to target the male audience to Hello Kitty, of all things. Also known as Kitty-chan in Japan, and voiced by Megumi Hayashibara in the anime versions, they apparently want to give Hello Kitty a more rugged, their words, look.
What kind of freaking ribbon? How rugged does a freaking ribbon look to you?
I'm looking at the webpage here, in which they have examples of the man kitty wear. It's usually on a black t-shirt with a black and white and gray design of Hello Kitty in a really cute-looking airplane with her cute-looking ribbon. They've got Hello Kitty watches, and yes, the ultimate symbol of garness and masculinity, Hello Kitty boxer shorts.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm telling you, this employee guy, he is so uke.
Yeah, if you look at the picture on the website, he definitely doesn't have any facial hair. He looks like he has mascara on his eyes. And those bangs, oh my lord. That's definitely so hair coloring on his hair.
All he needs is a pair of glasses just like yours, Mike.
Yeah, it's going to have to be like there's a black rim, like square.
You don't, I don't understand why they didn't go with the whole Bats Maru or the Kuropi characters for the guys wear. I mean, that actually kind of makes sense. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Bats Maru. He's kind of a, I don't know if he's like a penguin. He has like a, or some sort of bird. He has a dark, he's a dark colored with a little beak. And he's always in kind of bad boy poses. Mm. And the Kuropi is a frog character of some sort.
And I just love the publicity text here. A simple vision that has now become a reality. The Hello Kitty menswear has been recently spotted in Tokyo and is sure to take the world by storm.
It's so obvious. There's a Daniel character who's like Hello Kitty's boyfriend.
Oh, really?
But no. The shirt just had to feature the girl. And not the guy. And right. You got guys supposed to wear it.
And it even adds, Hello Kitty's female fans will definitely have a good shopping day getting their boyfriends and husbands to wear Hello Kitty. Yeah, as a punishment, maybe, but... See, I can just imagine, like, some poor hapless otaku wearing a Hello Kitty shirt to his high school. Like, here in America, where we don't have...
Ikari, Mike, Jen Kendo.
And, well, I can just imagine the reaction on the jocks' faces when they see it. And what's going to happen to this poor fellow when he shows his proud Hello Kitty colors in front of everybody.
I don't know. With all the metrosexual movements nowadays, depending on where you're at, it may not go over as bad as some places. I know back in my hometown, it wouldn't have went over very well.
Yeah. But,
okay, there's LV. And there's a Hello Kitty chan, not Daniel, Hello Kitty on a man's shirt.
We could call it man's.
Can you tell the difference here, Mike?
Yeah, of course I can tell the difference. I mean, with LV, at least you're getting something of quality. See, it's actually made of real handmade materials, of course, woven together by some anonymous factory worker in China and then marked up for 500%. But
maybe they change the text to a different language besides English, it might sound a little better, like Buenos Dias Gato instead of Hello Kitty. It might sound a little cooler. I don't know, or something in German. That might be tough.
Ah, yes.
Or you could have the Hello Kitty Terminator version.
I'll be back.
Yeah, I can just see it now. Megumi Hayashibara doing that. I can just see it. So what other girly franchises deserve a manly remake by any chance? Anybody got any thoughts on that?
You're the one who watches shoujo manga and shoujo anime. You tell me.
Well, actually, I have been watching an awful lot of romance shows, but not of the shoujo variety, necessarily. Mm. This past season in the fall, there have been an awful lot of decent ones, like Clannad and EF, Tale of Memories. But probably, any of those magical girl shows, for instance. Like with Kero-chan in Cardcaptor Sakura. Well, actually, they already did a more manly version of him. He's that teddy bear in a Bleach con. because he's really dirty-minded and really foul-mouthed.
Right.
Yeah, and so just kind of weird how much that... It's not as if Hello Kitty was already, like, hadn't conquered the rest of the cute mascot world already in general. They just had to go after the, I don't know, 1% of the male population that it would probably appeal to.
You know, they had that. They had that for Taiwanese 7-Eleven. I collect them all. And I don't have Daniel either.
Oh, so you've been collecting them. Ah, interesting revelation here, Ray. Tell me more about this.
You know, it could be a movement by Hello Kitty to really just try and take over the world, one otaku at a time. You know, like you were saying, the cuteness factor, I think I agree that Hello Kitty has really taken over the cuteness factor. I mean, Hello Kitty kicked the crap out of Strawberry Shortcake to take that title.
So we are now issuing a call to all good people who are listening to this podcast. Resist the invader. Resist the invasion of cuteness, because as we all know, in the grim future of Hello Kitty, there is only war. So please.
No, you're wrong, man. The Hello Kitty is a Borg, is part of the Borg collective, didn't you know?
Exactly. That just makes it even more dangerous. That's why we have
resist
to stop.
Resist is futile.
Oh no, that's true.
Didn't you know? It's Borg Kitty. Its resistance is absolutely futile. I got something.
Totally. I think, in fact, it's so futile we should just move on and accept the future of Hello Kittiness.
I am Kitty Kiss of Borg. Resistance is futile. You will be assimilated. And with that, we're going to be going on to the next section.
I am Locutus of Borg. Resistance is futile. Your life as it has been is over. From this time forward, you will service us.
And so we come from Hello Kitty to pennies, and next we'll go to condoms.
Very logical, but oddly disturbing order there.
Yes, very disturbing. But logical. In a sick sort of way.
Yes.
Now, if you have Hello Kitty vibrators, which some of our female audience probably have.
Available at JList.com, of which we were affiliates.
Please. And that
strictly for that purpose.
That's right. It's just for the ad purpose. Of course, we'll welcome pictures from... Ow! Okay, I'll stop. In any case, here says, Ika R60 Manga Special Edition Bundles Ika's Pennies.
Woohoo!
Happy Japan has released the Ika R16 Turning Mission Manga in its Virgin Mission, really. But anyway, it says Turning Mission. I know that's the name, but see... The OVA is Virgin Mission. Mm-hmm. Anyway, in a special panties version, which bundles a pair of Ika's panties.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think this is the first time they've done something like this, actually. Mm-hmm. I seem to remember being at one of their AXs about 2 or 3 years ago when they were throwing out Agent Ika panties to people out in the audience.
Also, the deluxe edition of Najika, U.S. edition, released by ADV, also came with a free pair of panties as well.
Actually, you're correct. It was Najika. Thank you for that correction.
And it was in 2004, actually.
But if you look at this pair of panties, it features a cute ribbon.
A little red ribbon, right? White,
right.
A little red ribbon.
Pink. A little pinkish. No, a little pinkish.
Kind of like the pink ribbon on Hello Kitty's head.
Yes, but this ribbon is much more interesting to a real man.
I didn't know if it was influence of Hello Kitty and their scheme to take over the world, starting in Ika's panties.
But it doesn't have its face on it, though. If it has its face on it, it will still be a greater interest to otaku men.
Indeed.
Yes, I like to call those kind of panties fan service panties, actually, because you only seem to see that not in real life, but actually in anime. So, like, I think Mega Tokyo actually did a joke about that, about how otaku always imagine that there are pure white panties with a red ribbon on it, and that's like the That's almost like the expectation, in a way.
One of the commenters, if you click on the link, one of the commenters says that this is a throwback to the days that women's panties had to be tied up together by strings.
Ah, wow. He's an awfully authoritative person to ask about that, isn't he? And I'm sure it's a he. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And in any case, in Hong Kong, in the Hong Kong's version of Volume 1 of Towa Oshima, is an author's name if you didn't know, its recipe, Dose Recipe Manga, comes with a single package of Dose brand condoms. Whoops. But you wish these were condoms.
It's only a lapel pin.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd necessarily need to get a condom with my manga. I guess if I need to get condoms, I'd just go out and get them. But it is interesting that the Dose, I don't know, it looks a little bit like the Durex label. I'm sure that's entirely
intentional. Oh.
Yeah.
In fact, it looks pretty much exactly like the Durex label.
Does anybody know what that manga is about, by any chance?
Something about people living together, I guess. A girl and a guy living together. Basically, the title just says that.
Huh, you know? Interesting. If it includes even a simulacrum of condoms, I'm guessing that manga must promote irresponsible sex.
Wait a minute. You're being a Christian faggot. Think about that. Condom and irresponsible sex doesn't come together in the same line in the real world, Mike, outside of your seminary.
No, actually, I'm saying that it's a sort of almost a public service announcement thing in order to counteract the fact that they're probably not doing it protected in the manga.
For responsible sex, I got you.
Exactly. And it's sort of like a little reminder, don't do this at home. Kind of like the whole sit back 3 meters in a well-lit room at the beginning of every broadcast anime.
It is kind of disturbing they put a lapel pin in there. I mean, hopefully there are not attachments out there that are not really familiar with condoms and how to put them on and figure that, you know, that is something that you attach to your, you know, manliness. That would be painful.
I can immediately think of a million rated R puns that go along with having a pin look like a piece of condom. About the potential audience of this manga and whether they would, they would either know or have the opportunity to even use a condom on any real person, that is.
Hey, Mike, have you seen a pack of Trojans?
We have Trojans here in Southern California.
I think they just ran out.
Those are cigarettes, right?
No, I'm talking about the Greek mythology.
No, I was talking about obscure reference from that male whatever person's history of the world.
Ha, Mel Brooks.
Very obscure. When the obscure reference
that
comes
is obscure,
out,
but yeah, I think I've actually heard that before.
Really? When the obscure reference comes out, it's time to move on. I think.
Yes.
Yes, and so go buy your special editions of manga now, so you can revel in things other than visual stimulation, or maybe the visuals are supposed to actually stimulate you in some other unexpected way. And with that, we move on to the next section.
Just don't use the pin on condom.
Yeah, please don't. This podcast does not promote those sort of uses. Anyway, let's move on to the next section.
Got a box full of letters. Thinking might like to read some things that you might like to see, but they're all addressed.
And we move on to a section that we haven't done in, I think, just one episode, actually. And so we're going to talk a little bit about some of your listener comments. This is our mailbag section. And the fact that we even have a mailbag section to me is already a gigantic accomplishment. And now we even already
have... He said gigantic. He said gigantic.
Yeah, as in giant Rovos. Oh, wait a minute. That probably doesn't sound quite right. Because I immediately started thinking of those giant drills in Gurren Lagann.
Yes! You said giant drills.
Pierce your drill into the heavens, as the show puts it. But in either case, we just have a couple of comments we want to cover, because believe it or not, all you people out there are actually leaving us too many comments for us to individually respond to, which we consider a wonderful accomplishment. Yay! So, first and foremost, to one of our most loyal readers and listeners, Cora Sora. Let's see what you've got for us. This is for our previous episode, Spoiled Turkey in a Bowl, episode 16. And there's a number of things that, Cora Sora, you've brought up. First of all, you were, in fact, screaming, what about Rocky Stut? Is it Suda? Sta?
Rocky Suda. Yeah. Yeah, which was, without some knowledge of katakana, would have been a little bit confusing, actually.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was another terrorist from the Middle East.
Yeah, we that's what originally we thought, but, you know. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But, in fact, it's about Lucky Star, the probably the most popular comedy of 2007 for most otakus. I've seen it on several best of lists. And... well, I don't think... yeah, it's been a while since I've listened to episode 16, since I edited it, like, about 3 weeks ago. Well, basically, I mean, for me personally, I didn't find Lucky Star to be the best anime, or the funniest one of the year. I gave that award to Seto no Hanayome, and also Minami K, first season. But I think it's a pretty good show, actually. I mean, I grew to like it a lot. So, but it's, yeah, I mean, there's, obviously we owe Lucky Star a great deal. We wouldn't have a mascot logo, would we? Or a slogan without it.
Oh, yeah.
So, but yeah, let's see, what else is there from Cora Sora? Any of you guys want to take that? Okay, here's something substantive. I disagree with your Odex comments. Although there was no harm in it, the fact is it really shakes up the people who receive those accidental letters, and it's an extreme violation of privacy. Well, then again, claiming a right to privacy on the internet is lol. And international laws. It's a big offense, and Odex should pay proper reprimands. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I totally agree with that. I mean...
yeah, I don't think we disagree with bad things happening to Odex. It's just that pretty much, you know, it's hard to take that very seriously. We're really just kind of poking fun at the fact that Odex is just completely and totally incompetent.
Yeah.
So that was pretty much the goal of our newscast.
Exactly. You receive something from Singapore says you owe a Singapore, you owe us $3,000. What's your first response?
Spam.
Yeah, whatever.
Exactly.
Exactly. And there is also a bunch of comments about a number of shows. Claymore. Hi to Nogotoku, Sayonara Tetsubo Sensei, Gundam 00, which he simply dismisses as fangirl fodder. Do you agree, Ray?
Well, it is a yaoi girl fodder. It is about four guys doing each other in the asses or thinking about it while they're on the battlefield.
All right,
and the last guy holds a Gundam with a huge gun. And I'm not any further with any of this.
Are they actually just...
there you go.
Are they really thinking about doing each other, or are they just simply being angsty? Which is maybe more or less the same thing for a lot of yaoi fangirls, if we've all seen Genshiken 2 Episode 5. So,
oh, they're angsty, all right.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Well, I did want to comment on the Claymore ending. You know, yeah, I think most of us had some disappointment over the Claymore ending. But as per our interview with the director and character designer, I think this was pretty well explained, is that, you know, that they really just didn't have the funding to keep going, and they couldn't just they kind of created two audiences. There's the manga audience, which is religiously following the manga, which the story's continuing, and then there's the television audience, which may not have read the manga. And in order to be fair to them, I mean, they couldn't just say, oh, here's where it ends, and the rest you'll have to read the manga. I mean, that was pretty much what they said, so that they had to create some sort of ending that may or may not go along with the story, which I haven't gotten that far in the manga. So hopefully it will be able to pick back up with the manga if they do get funding to do another season of it in the future. But, you know... it was an ending that was a little open-ended, and, you know, disappointing to a certain respect, but, you know, it was an ending that didn't totally leave the television audience completely shafted. That's basically just from the opinion of the director and character designer, and I have to say that's pretty fair.
And what about the Pizza Hut product placement thing? He's actually treating this seriously.
Mm. Well, I actually wrote an entire little entry about that as one of my 12 Days, 12 Moments series, in which I talked about the very ludicrously obvious product placement in Code Geass featuring Pizza Hut, in which characters actually eat Pizza Hut, and the Pizza Hut delivery boy is a character, and various other... And then, in fact, the mechas actually, like, toss pizza dough in the air. And so it's...
Are you serious?
I am not kidding about that. Yeah, I'm not kidding about
that. I mean, come on, though. I mean, you're talking about Japan here. This is the country that really doesn't really care about shameless marketing. I mean, this is where so many American actors would go overseas before they realized this stuff could get on the internet and film ridiculously horrible commercials, like the one where Sylvester Stallone is dressed up as the Red Baron with the wind blowing on his chest and his scarf blowing in the air, holding a big fork in front of him and a huge pork sausage. I mean,
that's so appropriate for Sylvester Stallone, you know.
Exactly. I mean, what does that really say? I mean, you know, is he alluding to the fact that he really is the Italian Stallion? I mean, I don't know.
No, but he's eating the sausage, though.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Okay, true. That might imply something else. But the thing is that I just hope it doesn't cut into the story quality.
No, it doesn't. Look. In Gunbuster, they were doing push-ups.
Yes.
Maybe they were doing... they were advertising for more exercise for otakus.
Yes.
Here, they're doing the exact opposite. They're tossing pizza dough. They're saying, you could be working exercise while tossing pizza dough.
Wait. By working at Pizza Hut.
You too could have a job.
Yes.
Instead of living at home in your basement of your grandmother's and watching anime and having huge piles of tissues piling up around you and asphyxiating you.
Oh, man.
And you guys didn't even point out that was a really bad term I did.
I get the feeling that, actually, according to one of my commenters on that particular post, what Pizza Hut only wanted to be in the background. That's what they originally proposed. But the creators at Code Geass loved the idea so much, they decided to plaster it everywhere on their own. So I'm guessing there is at least a camp or even satire here that's going on. So in this particular case, it's funny and it's memorable. Apparently, Pizza Hut also had product placement in Darker Than Black, if I remember correctly.
That's right.
And that one was a little bit less obnoxious, though one commenter thinks it was really obnoxious. So in either case, as long as they can... You think with the Dish Generation's marketing is that you have to be ironic and self-conscious about advertising. Otherwise, we won't buy into it. As long as they're funny about it, they can probably do it. They can probably do well. I mean, they even got us, our anime club, to order pizza, didn't we? From Pizza Hut one time?
Yes, for the showing of
Code Geass.
Of Code Geass, we actually ordered Pizza Hut pizza.
Yes. And so that's pretty much does it for Korosora's comment. Thank you for leaving such long and detailed rich fodder for us to make fun of. So we go ahead and move on to a couple of comments on Animated Diet Radio episode 15. Yep. Which was the Halloween episode. Yeah, that seems like a really long time ago. The one edited by Ray, by the way. He did a wonderful job with that, especially adding tons of sound effects. And one of them comes from Jerry Energy One, our friend from the Sailor Moon Classics USA website. And basically, Jerry was proposing that we take this podcast out of just a pure audio realm and take it onto video. I've always consistently maintained that there's nothing particularly visually interesting about our podcast, though I think what he wanted or was suggesting was that we add video clips of the anime that we were reviewing, and that's actually not a terrible idea. The only problem is that I also have consistently maintained that nobody really wants to see our faces, necessarily, because...
We would just scare the children.
Exactly, especially with my ugly mug. I mean,
No, because you don't want the ladies to knock on your doors, right? Knock down your doors. Especially Mike is in the mega Playboy Academy now, somewhere deep under Tokyo.
Weren't supposed to say that, Ray.
What? It's already a news item.
That's true. Oh, no. Is that somebody ringing the doorbell right now?
If you hear like the sound of traffic, it's not DC.
Oh, jeez. I'm looking outside, and I see all these really hot girls with torches outside. And they're all banging on my door, and look, I think I better go to the situation right now.
Oh, witch? They're witch hunting?
Uh-oh. Oh, no. I think I'm in trouble. I think I better go, like, leave the country. Because I think, what have you done?
Are you sure this is just at the Pizza Hut delivery guy?
Wait a minute. With the lard?
Oh, wait a minute. I think I got something confused. Actually, it's 100 Pizza Hut delivery boys, and they're all demanding retribution for all the times I made fun of them for their product placement in Code Geass. Okay, I think I have to leave the country anyway, for different reasons now.
Yes, you absolutely... Now you absolutely do have to.
Yeah. We do actually have video features. I'm going to be putting up the video diary that we recorded for PMX very soon. And I continue to plan to do that on any convention, certainly, that we cover. And, the thing is that my belief is that video is primarily justified only if you have something really visually interesting to show.
Yeah.
And I personally don't think talking heads is necessarily really all that beneficial as far as video goes. And also, yeah, we do live in three different places, so I would have to find a way to sort of splice all the video together from different locations. And right now, my video editing skills are much weaker than my audio editing skills. So that's that.
It's just green screen Ray in.
Like Big Brother. Yeah, his whole face would be covering the background of my of me.
That would actually be pretty funny. I think I would enjoy that, actually.
Actually, that would be
Halloween episode of next year.
Yes, or maybe our April Fool's Day episode, but I don't want to talk any more about April Fool's because we do have special plans. On April Fool's Day. Yes, with each other. Dun, dun, dun. So, he also suggests checking out Noain, among other things. Have you actually, any of you actually seen that? I've heard a lot of good things about it.
I haven't actually seen that. Mm-hmm. I have good things about it, but I haven't actually watched it.
It's on my list to download, dude, but it's another series. You know, instead of watching that, I recently finished Fate Stay Night, so...
Okay, cool. And, Corsaro also leaves us a few comments. He loves the sound effects. Thank you very much. That was Ray, actually. He adds a lot more sound effects than I do. And and so he did a wonderful job on that. And he seems to enjoy most of the same shows that we enjoy. And he also dislikes Kaoyi Jenny. So I'm sure
Who doesn't?
And apparently I changed his mind on EF. He now thinks it's one of the best shows of the year, and so that scores another for me, in which I convince somebody of the worthiness of something that is otherwise difficult to get into.
Is that a symbol to the power of your dark side?
That's right. You know, this is not the anime that you're looking for. Absolutely. Or this is the anime that you're looking for. In either case, that pretty much wraps it up for our mailbag section. And so please keep sending us comments, and we will get back to them in our next episode, whenever we can remember to do it. Thanks, guys.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines and corner scenes and footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot.
And, of course, we close every episode with our round table section, and it's usually the time where we talk about shows. And, of course, this being January 3rd on date of recording, we've already gone into the winter 2008 season. Unfortunately, we didn't get to do our whole year-end thing last time because I was kind of busy with many other things in the month of December. But here's our opportunity to talk about a couple of shows that each of us are interested in seeing this upcoming season, which has just begun. And so I'm starting, and I will talk about two shows that look really interesting to me. And the first show that seems caught my eye was something called Spice and Wolf, or in Japanese, Ukami to Kashinryo. And its actual website is called spicywolf.com. That's the way they've decided to translate that into English. Yeah.
Would you like some fries with that, sir?
It could be in a new pizza topping in Pizza Hut's new like pizza.
Damn it, everything tastes like chicken. Everything tastes like chicken.
Even the sausage.
Yeah, I'll have the stuffed crust spicy wolf
with extra cheese.
Yes, stuffed crust and double meat, double cheese. But Spice and Wolf is apparently based on a prize-winning novel. set in the fictional version of medieval Europe. I don't think it's a European novel. It's a Japanese light novel, if I recall correctly. The main character, and I'm reading off Hashihime's very useful description of the plot. The main character is a 25-year-old traveling merchant, Lawrence. He meets Horo, a pretty but unpredictable centuries-old wolf and harvest goddess. She's left a village she's supposed to watch over because she believes the people there have forsaken her. She wants to go north, back to her homeland, and also to travel and see the world, which she knows has changed since she came to the village. And so basically, this show looked interesting, first of all, because it's in fact based on a prize-winning novel, and I've noticed that generally anime that is based on good written material, things like the Crest of the Star series, tend to be pretty good in general. And because I've heard good things also about the Les Mis adaptation that came out early last year, and that it was actually quite, you know, it was actually quite good, and that's probably because Les Mis is a very good story. And I actually saw a very short little preview video on YouTube, sort of like a 15 or 30 second commercial, and the main male character looks kind of like Ginkgo in Mushishi for some reason. And the storyline sort of reminds me of Scrap Princess, but then again, I've already described that last year. I said that Sisters of Wellbrook looked a lot like Scrap Princess, and I was totally wrong about that one. So, I don't know. Maybe that's a curse, because I was rather disappointed in Sisters of Wellbrook first. But I plan to be blogging that one this coming winter as soon as the fan subs come out. It stars, as far as voice acting goes, it stars Koshimitsu Ami, Fukuyama Jun, Kaori Nazuka, and Nakara Mai, who is wonderful because she was Mai in My Hime, among other things. So,
by the way, Koshimitsu Ami also played the Tenma, Tsukamoto Tenma in Squirrel Rumble.
Oh, wonderful! She was the Yamato Nadesiko in that. In that series, yeah, that's really cool. I remember Mai Nakahara has also done a good number of fan favorites.
No. Tenma is the main character, the big sister.
Oh, whoops! Sorry, I got confused.
Airhead, hello.
I was confusing that with Yakumo.
Yeah. No Tomamiko, son.
Oh man, see, like I don't know much about like
all right, actresses. Sorry,
I'm not a seiyuu expert, but what else has Mai Nakahara done? Actually, I remember she's done a whole number of other things actually recently.
Strawberry Panic.
And so, yeah, basically that one is probably the most promising one as far as storyline goes for me, along with Shigo Fumi. But I wanted to be spending the second half of my section talking about one more other show, and that is something I've already written about, though in a somewhat roundabout way, on the blog, and that is Persona Trinity Soul. Now, you see, I am a student in seminary, and I happen to think that this particular title has all kinds of interesting implications that I already addressed, and I won't go into again because I'm going to bore your head off with some very technical systematic theology if I do. But Persona Trinity Soul is based apparently on the franchise of Persona video games. In this particular one, the three brothers who are featured in those video games have grown up, and they are continuing to use their guardian forces, persona spirit power inside them to fight the undead. Jeremy claims that he knows more about this than I do, so why don't you describe the show a little further?
Well, actually, it's a pretty well-established franchise, and I don't know that much about it. It's just been kind of a... Sometimes I've been a little bit intrigued with it, never really gotten into, never really had the time to pick up. I did randomly pick up a early Japanese version I think a sister game, maybe, actually, or a game in that series on the Sega Saturn. But unfortunately, it's entirely in Japanese, and I was never really able to play it because my Japanese is pretty poor. Apparently, it branched off from a series called Megami Tensei.
Yeah.
A Japanese computer role-playing game.
Yeah, my cousins actually brought over a PlayStation 2 Shin Megami Tensei video game to test out on my PlayStation 2. So we got to take a look at that, too. Yeah, they're pretty violent.
Yeah, it's it was began from the Digital Devil Story novels by Nishitane Aya. They've been pretty popular. The third, which is actually the series is supposed to take place after Persona 3, is really interesting in that they've kind of strayed away from, well, I don't know if they really strayed away, but they kind of got a different spin on the video game. Mm-hmm. In which the characters kind of they institute a kind of like a sim aspect to it. For example, if you take your character and you have him study in the library, it builds up his academic skill.
Oh.
if you drink pheromone coffee, it builds up your charm skill.
Or only that easy in real life.
Exactly. And this one is one of my favorites. Actually, if you sing karaoke, it builds up your courage skill.
Now that makes sense. Yes, that makes sense.
Well, actually, in my case, actually, I don't know. I think it's actually kind of like the people that actually would be there as I'm singing in karaoke would build up their courage skill.
I know.
So,
indeed.
Yeah, indeed. You've heard me sing karaoke, so yeah. you can truly say that's a. You can verify that.
The people in the organizer committee have also heard me sing karaoke before.
Oh.
And you never want to hear it again. So, in either case, why don't we go on? Because that is those two shows that I'm most interested in this coming season. So, why don't we move on to Jeremy? Why don't you talk about what you like?
I just finished talking. But,
actually, well,
if you insist.
We like you. We like you to talk again.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, right. I'll talk about the two series that and it kind of does have kind of flows into this. The two series that I'm most interested in, the first one is Rosario to a Vampire, which actually apparently has a dating sim video game. Apparently it looks like a dating sim video game that's done by Capcom. It is actually on the Nintendo DS. It actually looks quite entertaining. The nice MIDI soundtrack that brings me back to some of the old school video games that I like to play. One of which was Thousand Arms, which also had a sim dating aspect.
I remember that.
Did you actually play that? Where you actually had to go out and date girls and build up your relationship with them in order for them to imbue more power into your
armor
long, movement. Sharp sword.
Yes.
And terribly, terribly fun game. But the interesting aspect of this, albeit it could be kind of your typical harem sort of thing, but I think this is an interesting spin, is that the main character actually can't get into a good school because he's not a good student. So what he does is he ends up having to go to a monster school. He has to go to school where the students are monsters disguised as humans, and he really wants to get out of there until he meets a really cute vampire girl. Mm. And throughout the series, it looks like it could become, as somebody said, a Monster of the Week show, but there's several different characters in it, you know, be it werewolves, vampires, witches, whatnot, and it looks like it just could be fun. So it'd be interesting to see what they do with it. Hmm. The second series that I'm interested in watching is actually one that, strangely enough, my wife is probably a little more interested in. I'm interested in, but actually she got into, which was Gunslinger Girl. Oh. The second half of the series actually is coming out, and my wife is actually so into it that she cosplays Henrietta. Mm-hmm. At the last AX, complete with a airsoft, fully functioning airsoft P90, which almost got confiscated by AX staff when she actually lost them and ran into the crowd, very much like a gunslinger girl.
Complete with a gun.
So, that was actually pretty interesting. But this is, like I said, the second half of the series. Apparently, they have changed directors, which is kind of surprising, and it is Mono Ray, who's the woman who directed Ghost Hunt. And that really intrigues me, because I really liked Ghost Hunt. I thought it was a fun show. I would have liked to have seen more of it, but actually there was quite a bit that came out, so I was just lucky to get what they did have come out. But, yeah, so that's pretty much it for me.
Also, the characters, Seiyus, are different. The voice actors are completely different.
They are.
Oh, really?
They are completely different.
Wow, that could be a little disappointing, actually. If, but I mean, it has been so long since the original series that perhaps the transition will be a little easier.
That's actually starting next week on Monday, January 7th, according to Hashihime. So most of these shows all start next week. But yeah, why don't we go ahead? And now, Ray, why don't you talk about what you want to
And see. One show has already started, actually. Mm-hmm. Ayakashi. Mm-hmm. There's so many Ayakashi-named shows out there, by the way. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I think there was one called Japanese Tales of Horror or something like that, also called Ayakashi.
There was one that Fred was covering. And you know... Oh, okay. I'm confusing Ayakashi and Mononoke.
Mononoke is actually a side story from that. Ayakashi Japanese Tales of Horror universe.
Actually, there's Ayakashi Ayashi, which I was watching, came out in 2006.
I see.
Okay. But Ray, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah. I think Mike said something about Guardian Forces. Well, here's another show that features Guardian Forces. Basically, Ayakashi are the bunch of people that they can move around like spiritual monsters. If you look at the description here, it says, adapted from an adult superhuman battle action visual novel. It says adult, so it's another sex fast, I think. But, you know, I've never played it, so yeah, that's a cheap pot shot because I've never played it. But basically, Ayakashi is some kind of parasite, spiritual parasite. He basically sucks the life force out of you, but makes you, as he grows stronger, as he makes you stronger, but you're slowly dying, basically.
Right.
So it's basically kind of bloody. In the beginning, and it's realistic because it portrays, you know, the main character didn't want, basically, Kosaka used the main character. One time he saw this other Ayakashi guy he didn't know back then was, and a bunch of gangs basically in school was picking on this guy. Mm-hmm. And of course, being the hero that he was, he basically says, oh well, and he walked away. So, yeah, and then basically, oh, that's right, he had two childhood friends. One of them died because of him. The other one lives. But another mysterious girl shows up who kind of looks like one of his childhood friends. Mm-hmm. I guess it's kind of interesting because, you know, it has all these fights and these special powers. And, you know, it has kind of have those conflicts. And, you know, the hero started out going, nah, I don't give a shit. I don't care. And as the Ayakashi grows stronger, sometimes he becomes more evil to a degree. But I will say, though, because I've watched so many shows, I'm probably a little biased and not very easily impressed. So far, the only thing that really struck me was Sukita Tomokatsu, who always played guys like Kyung or like guy in Gitama, he's always like picking on other people and being funny. He's being unfunny, absolutely serious.
Wow. Yeah. They even picked that guy to do the main character in the new version of canon precisely because he could do sarcasm so well. But he's totally serious in this one, huh?
Absolutely serious. But when I hear him, I keep on saying, oh, next he's going to say, oh, what's with that long hair? Every time I see that long hair, I can't see your eyes. You scare me. Or something like, oh, my God. And they get all these spiritual powers. And I'm sitting here playing the evil guy. And my power still hasn't come out yet. You know what I'm saying? I keep on thinking he's going to do something like that. But he's absolutely serious.
Wow. Sounds like a versatile actor you got there. He doesn't want to be typecast as the sarcastic, wisecracking narrator. So that's good. That's good. Yeah.
And I guess the other show, like, you guys have to help me with the pronunciation here, is Manemosune.
That's pretty much it. It's Manemosune. Yeah, that's in Greek.
It sounds so Japanese.
It really does.
Doesn't that sound like Japanese, Jeremy? You're taking Japanese class, right?
It does, actually.
It really does. But, that is the correct Greek pronunciation, though. Manemosune.
How is it even Greek? I mean, that name doesn't even sound Greek.
It's the same word that where we got from memory or mnemonic. So it's the
Johnny mnemonic?
Yeah, like Johnny mnemonic, just like that. It's there, the same root word. Yeah. Same.
By the way, that word comes from the Greek word for the goddess of memory.
That's correct.
So you're not the only one who's spilling out theology in Greek. Yep. Just to let you know. You got a new contender on the block, kid.
Oh no! What am I ever gonna do? Oh, I really do need to brush up on my Greek now. I'm gonna have to throw more Greek and Latin at everybody on this blog now.
Great. Oh, something to look forward to. Yeah, look what you've done, Ray. You've pumped up the Greek spouting Mike to the
he's
now at power
level. Yes,
he's at power level 10 now.
I'll bet one of the Frieza's henchmen could easily dispatch him.
Yeah, uno substantia tres persona. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that was freaky there. Actually, Tanaka, basically, if you look at Hashihime's, well, she likes Tanaka Rie, I guess. So she says Tanaka Rie is, she started out talking about Tanaka Rie, but she actually is not the main character. The main character is a person who played by Noto Mamiko. And I think she's the head of the research, of the laboratory or research or something like that. It's actually her and not Tanaka Rie, but it doesn't matter. So basically, it looks like, to put in a nutshell, it's kind of like a sexy psychological thriller.
Ah.
It involves some sort of sexual things and adult things, and, you know, women fighting each other, and, you know, like women like doing like sexy torture, and, you know, like women fighting each other and doing sexy torture, and they're fighting the... Wait a minute. Yes, I highly recommend this show to everyone.
For very reasons that are now perfectly obvious.
Yeah, but to be a little bit back on the serious side, you have Noto Mamiko, you have Kugiyama Rie, who's Mike's favorite Tsundere character.
Fanboy alert coming. Yeah.
That's right. And Tanaka Rie-sama, who's one of my favorite, and the Ohaya Sayaka, who has done Sayaka, who's done a few good shows, and the animation quality is extremely high. If you look at my blog, I basically said this could have taken place some years before Ghost in the Shell, just based on the animation quality. Not that it's the same style, absolutely not. Just the feeling and the thriller. And it kind of has a cyberpunk darkness to the city thingy. I don't know how to describe it, but it's not cyberpunk. So
no, I know what you're getting at. I mean, it has a similar animated feel. The backgrounds and the character designs, the really fast action scenes. It does have a similar feel too.
It's not a production IG show, is it?
No,
it's not. Okay, just making sure, because that would be something I would definitely associate with production IG. That whole feel.
They
were the ones who did, you know, who animated Ghost in the Shell, both the movies and the television shows.
I guess one plus is the director actually also did shows like some episodes of Fullmetal Alchemist and Lain. He directed some episodes.
That's definitely promising. Yeah,
it's one of those things. I mean, if it doesn't go too overboard with the over sexualization and torture, I think I would be interested in it. But it seems pretty well on the edge. So I don't know. I mean, I'd be interested to see. I mean, there's been a few shows that I liked that, you know, started to, I think, veer a little too much in that direction. Namely, one was like Gantz. Interesting to me, but it just kind of, you know, went a little over the edge. Not so much on this end. I was actually able to kind of hang with it with Speedgrapher.
Right.
I don't know. This show is just anything that gets a little too much on the hentai side, I'm just not a big hentai fan.
Right.
So, do you have anything else to add, Ray?
Yeah, no. I think that's the two shows I'm definitely gonna. Well, I'm watching one, and I'm definitely following the other one. Interestingly, it's not coming out until February.
Interesting. Kind of like I didn't know how Macross Frontier 1 was released a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't know until I read up later on that it wasn't coming out till the spring. So
yeah, it was weird. It's out already. And this is a six episode OVA, by the way. It's not going to be a full or anything.
That's right. Actually, I heard what it is that every episode's about an hour long. And
oh, that's it. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a 12 episode thingy.
Yeah, it's going to be the same length as a 12 episode series, but each episode comes out kind of slowly, and it's just one at a time with 6 1-hour length episodes, which is really interesting because I think very few anime work in that time slot or that time frame.
So it's going to have to try very hard to be like a real television show.
exactly like, you know, your average drama show on TV is about that long. So that's so working that framework will be very fascinating. But anyway,
is there any other shows that anybody want to talk about, like that has N1 Super Sensei, or, you know?
Well, yeah, there are some shows that are continuing. Clannad's continuing. Sayonara Zetsubo Sensei gets a second season. So does Minami K. And I like aspects of all of those different shows, and I plan to continue watching them.
I think we all want to see Yatterman 2008.
Oh, hi!
Yatterman
2008. You know, 1970s kids' family franchise that the characters look a lot like Hanna-Barbera. I don't know. I actually went to the website. It actually was surprisingly looked a little more interesting than I thought, but the character design is just a little too much of me, especially the bad guys. Yeah. One show I'm a little bit freaked out about, I'm not sure what to think about, is the Nora Mimi. Supposedly it's supposed to be geared towards 18 to 30 year olds. And it looks like this guy who's very uniquely drawn.
It's not anime. It's not anime style.
Yeah. Especially from the other characters in the series. And he kind of comes into like a modern world, and he's kind of looks like he's kind of like a traditional Japanese type character. So I'm not sure what to think about it. I just love the character with the enlarged red swollen belly button that seems to be like hanging over a pair of bum underwear.
That's right. Enlarged and swollen.
It actually includes Shiraishi Minoru as one of voice actors, and you might remember him as being the singing idiot from the second half of the Lucky Star endings.
The guy I want to hit with a paper fan.
Yes, exactly. And but of course, guys, you know, we all have to absolutely have to watch H2O Footprints in the Sand. And you know why? Because H2O will rock your soul.
No. I don't know.
Yeah.
I never want to write off something just on the based on its cover. So you never know. But
no.
I would still pretty much say no.
No, you had to have seen the trailer. It's so funny. They got this guy who speaks almost perfect American English, who sounds like the TV announcer guy. And he says all these really hilarious phrases like, this is the Renaissance, juvenile Renaissance. More innocent than adolescence and crueler than true love. And the whole thing concludes like, you know, H2O, the animation. H2O will rock your soul. And it's AB.
That sounds like 80s hair band.
Exactly.
As one of my friends affectionately called butt rock because of the tight leather pants and tiger striped spandex.
And on that note, we hope we've rocked your soul tonight with this 17th episode of Anime Diet Radio. I'm your host, Michael.
Barely legal. Barely not legal.
Yes. I'm your host, Michael Huang, reporting in from Washington, D.C.
And so he says, and I'm Remy Hugh, reporting not from Tokyo, but from Taiwan.
And this is Jeremy, currently from Los Angeles, now from Redondo Beach, signing out.
See you all next time when we are, in fact, legal to vote.
And now, an important message from Gendo Mike Ikari. My fellow Americans, our nation is in trouble. Marriages are falling apart. Millions of children lack basic health care and education, and are caught in hedgehog's dilemmas. We're wasting billions of dollars in a war we can't win, when our real enemies from the heavens are just waiting to attack us. And what do the politicians in Washington do? They just continue their partisan gridlock and vote themselves pay raises. Aren't you sick of it all? Well, I am. And as president, I promise, I'll rebuild our shattered military and bring our troops home so we'll be ready to fight the next war and keep our children safe from angelic attack. I promise to once again make America a world leader in technology through Project Eva. But most of all, I promise to restore family values by putting marriages and children first with the Human Instrumentality Project. You'll never be separated from those you love ever again. This November, you can vote for a Republican or a Democrat, or you can vote for a real change. Write in Gendo, Mike Ikari in the 2008 presidential ballot this fall. Together, we can make a real impact on this beloved nation and on the whole world. I'm Gendo Mike Ikari, and I approve this message. Gendo Mike Ikari. Freedom. Family. Instrumentality. This message is paid for by the Campaign Foundation for Nerve.